And financial author and journalist Mary Holm was walking towards the ring while that was playing. It's her sort of like, yeah, it's a hype song, isn't it?
It sounds a bit too worky, but too much hard work to me.
Your song, Save It. Invest it.
Oh, no, how about...
Put it in a consolidated investment fund.
No, my theme is, you know, get your money sorted so you can go out and have some fun.
Okay, I haven't heard that one.
Oh, yeah. That's what my book's all about.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, well,
yeah.
Maybe you should release it as a hip-hop song reach some more people.
That's it, yeah, new format, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Hey, so you challenged people to tell you why they're not in KiwiSaver.
Yeah.
And you sort of anticipated a few of the objections, didn't you? With the usual sort of three or four or five.
Yes.
But actually, you've got a whole sort of diversity.
What we're going to talk about today is only a sample. We got a huge response to this, which shows a lot of people are not entirely happy with KiwiSaver. One that just came in this afternoon, I don't know whether you've seen it, that Mary sent me, says, why I'm not in favour of KiwiSaver. The stock market leads to the destruction of life and culture. Put simply, capitalism is the devil. Mm. I thought, I'm not sure that I can convince that person.
Maybe not.
To be in key, I think all I would say is I think life and culture is not too bad under our current capitalist system, you know, but we do all right.
Might be heading in the wrong direction though, Mary.
It might be too.
You know, the concentration of wealth in the 1%, the hollowing out of the middle class.
There is that, yes, yeah.
We'll cover that on another, that'll be next week's topic.
It is interesting, because there's two different theories on that, but... So I'll write that down as a possible idea soon.
Catherine says, I'm not in KiwiSaver because I can't work because I've got ongoing health issues and I don't qualify for any welfare benefit because luckily for me my husband earns well, but I've got no income of my own. My husband's got a KiwiSaver and another super scheme, which means the bulk of our investments are in his name. So what investment arrangements would Mary recommend for the many people like me who are total non-earners and reliant on spousal support?
The first thing I want to say about that is that if your partner or spouse does saving while you and he or she are together, that does become part of relationship property. So it's not as unequal as it seems in a way, because if one of you is saving away and the other one's not, and then you split, then... that becomes part of the property that gets split up. That is the saving that's made while you are a couple.
Yeah. Because my immediate thing was, goodness me, what if they do break up? She's going to be in a bit of a pickle.
Yeah. So it's not as bad as it sounds. But having said that, Catherine, I really urge you to sit down with your hubby and say, how about you... contributing to, well, giving me some, I hope she's got some spending money anyway, but give me some money to put into my KiwiSaver as well. Apart from anything else, that as a couple, they're missing out on the government's $1,521 a year by putting in $1,042.
No matter what he's doing with his super scheme, he won't be earning what you can earn with $1,000 put into KiwiSaver each
year. Some of the super schemes are, some of the work non-KiwiSaver schemes are very generous, actually, but even so, as a couple, they should be getting the government money as well. So
okay, thanks.
Really urge her to do that.
Lots of people not involved in KiwiSaver because they say they're self-employed, like Ian, who has fluctuating revenue year by year, and Liz, who owns a business, as does her husband, separate businesses. Aside from getting the $521 each year government contribution, we don't pay anything else into KiwiSaver as there's simply no advantage. Just the disadvantage, really, of funds being tied up until we're 65. Why does the government actively discourage self-employed people to invest in KiwiSaver by offering no contribution or tax advantage to them?
Yes.
Liz seems like she knows what she's talking about.
She does. Liz is already in there, whereas Ian, it sounds as though he's
sorry to interrupt you, but most letters that Mary receives, she can usually just sort them out by telling them the facts. But Liz knows the facts.
Yeah, Liz has got it sorted. Ian sounds as though he's not in at all as a self-employed person. Anyone who's not an employee, whether you're self-employed or not working for various reasons, can put in... You know, and I recommend putting in $87 a month or $20 a week, which gets you to the $1,042 a year, which gets you the government $521. So regardless of the fact that Ian's revenue's fluctuating, that has got nothing to do with the fact that he can be transferring money automatically in. But the other thing is that the self-employed are rather neglected in KiwiSaver, and I'm actually working with the Commission for Financial Capability at the moment looking at possible changes to KiwiSaver, that the Commission's going to be putting out a report before the end of the year on suggested changes. And one of the areas we're looking at is this area of self-employed people, because there are more and more of them. And so, you know, keep your eyes on what's happening here, because the government, there'll be recommendations for the government to change, and I think there'll be something in there to make it a lot more attractive for the self-employed.
Great, because because they're often the entrepreneurial types, right? The people we want to encourage to keep doing whatever they're
Absolutely,
doing.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. A few people who got in touch were worried about their investments, like Ian, who says, what happens to the fund during and after a share market crash, particularly if that crash lasts for a long time? Nigel, who made some disastrous investments in the early 2000s that involved two individual shares that performed very badly. He reckons if he'd left money in a term deposit, it would be over double that amount now. Instead, the total amount received and the current value still hasn't reached the amount he had originally invested. Goodness, that is bad news.
Nigel has hit some bad luck there. And the main message to Nigel would be that he made a couple of investments and gave us some detail about those in individual shares. And that can happen. You know, you've got to get into something more diversified, and KiwiSaver is always more diversified than that. Every KiwiSaver funder owns a lot of investments, and so you're not going to land with bad, you know, with bad ones. You're going to land with some bad and some good, and the average is going to definitely be better than a term deposit, even before you get the employer contributions if you're an employee, and the government contributions regardless. You're still in the long run going to do better than a term deposit, not necessarily in the short term. But just getting back to Ian, who said, what happens to the fund during and after a share market crash, particularly if it lasts for a long period? And the answer to that is, if you're in a higher risk KiwiSaver fund, a balanced or even more so a growth or an aggressive fund, the balance in your account will go down, possibly quite a lot. But you shouldn't be in those funds anyway, unless you're going to be in there for at least 10 years. If you're going to be taking the money out sooner than that, be in a lower risk fund. If you're in these high risk ones, then just stick with it. It'll come back up. It always does. It always will. Yeah. Okay.
Jeff's got a problem with KiwiSaver's poor returns. He's been in growth funds with a number of providers for 10 years, but over that time, his own amateur investments, mainly New Zealand shares plus some actively managed funds, have performed better than his KiwiSaver. It's probably down to luck, but he thought 10 years would be long enough for good and bad luck to begin balancing out.
Yeah, so he's a little bit similar to Nigel, really. It sounds as though it probably is luck. He says his own amateur investments have done better than the fund. That, I would suggest, probably is luck. People who do well often think they're skilled at it, but he's acknowledging it's probably luck, and it probably is. But the thing is, with KiwiSaver, if you're an employee, your money is typically doubled in KiwiSaver, because you're getting employer contributions. Now, they're taxed, so they're a bit lower than your contributions, but then you're getting the government contributions as well. And so usually, not usually, always, that ends up doubling your money, unless you earn more than somewhere about $150,000, and at that sort of level, it doesn't quite get doubled. The higher income people, their money doesn't quite get doubled because the government contribution is capped. But in any case, it's nearly doubled, and that means that even if another investment out there is doing better than your KiwiSaver fund, the fact that you've got twice as much going into it as you yourself put into it means it's really hard to beat it. And if you're not an employee, it's not as good. But if you do what I suggest, which is put in $1,042 a year, get the government's $521, you're still getting 1.5 times as much as you put in, coming from you and the government. And even that boost makes it very hard to beat elsewhere, certainly on average over the long term. You know, in the short term, maybe something different might happen, but
You'd have to be happy with your return on KiwiSaver over the last 10 years, wouldn't you?
Oh, look, if you're not, you're
in the wrong
deluded.
Game. Yeah.
I think you're really...
It's been the best 10 years in human history.
Quite possibly has, actually, since the global financial crisis. It's been a terrific period. I think people, to quote old... Who was it? Fred Dagg? You don't know how lucky you are.
Mm.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people, when we do have a downturn, will be like, what's this?
Yeah, yes. And I know that we've talked about that before, and I'm really worried about that, that people are going to freak out when the markets go down. But it will happen. But just remember to hang in there and it'll come right.
Okay, different Nigel, I presume, is worried about the management costs of KiwiSaver. And by the way, if you've just tuned in, Mary Holm is addressing some concerns people have about joining the KiwiSaver scheme. She doesn't get any kickbacks for getting people to join KiwiSaver. She just wants people to do the right thing with their money. Nigel says the management costs are far too high for their ability. The costs completely negated the advantage of the tax rebate for him.
Yes, and I would be very surprised if that happens over the long term. The fees vary a lot in KiwiSaver, and I strongly recommend you use either the KiwiSaver Fund Finder, which is the sort of simpler one, or the Smart Investor tool. They're both on the Sorted website, so they're government-run websites, so they're unbiased. And on those, you can have a look at KiwiSaver funds ranked by fees and go for the low fees, because the higher fees do certainly hurt returns. But even the higher ones, where he says the cost completely negated the advantage of the tax credit, which is now called a government contribution, I doubt that. I think if you looked at it really closely, that, you know, certainly not, as I say, over the long term, in a usual situation, that wouldn't happen.
Okay. You'd be lucky to get charged $500 by your fund manager each year.
It depends on how,
or it's a percentage.
If you've got a big, every KiwiSaver fund just about charges a base fee of between $25 and $40 a year, and then a percentage of your balance. So if you've got a higher balance in there, the fee can end up being quite high.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ethical investing. Shelley and Jeff both have concerns about this. So Shelley says she didn't join as she wasn't happy to have comfort in her old age at the expense of exploitation of children and underprivileged persons in foreign countries. The ethical fund I joined was exposed by Amnesty International to be nothing of the sort. I tried to withdraw and was unable to. Poor old Shelley.
Yeah, yes, and she's been the
victim. Got the weight of the world on her shoulders.
Yes, well, yes, she has, and it's what's sometimes called greenwash, where funds say that they're cleaner than they are, more ethical than they are. But where I'm highly recommending everybody uses the new website Mindful Money, which we've talked about before, which helps you to find ethical investments. And the what if Shelley and others who want to have poke into it a little bit more, have a look on the website. They explain how they certify different KiwiSaver funds. They're basically telling you which KiwiSaver funds are ethically good and which ones aren't. And they have got people, the fund managers' claims verified by independent examinations of it. You know, so they're very much aware of greenwash and how you can still get into something that genuinely is good.
Yeah, they'll be getting sharper and sharper with that.
Yes.
Jeff says, I don't have any way to closely align my KiwiSaver investment with my values. There's no way to cast a vote or to veto individual investments. I can only switch between a limited number of providers and funds, all of which invest in some company or another that I'm not comfortable with.
Yes, and once again, I really recommend have a look on Mindful Money. That website tells you what's in your current fund, whether the good or bad stuff that's in it. But more interestingly, it lets you, there's a little kind of slider thing which lets you say, human rights are very important to me, environmental stuff perhaps not so important, pornography not so important, but whatever. There's 6 or 8, maybe even 10 categories, and you can, by a little slider, say which ones you think matter most to you, and then the tool on the website comes up with recommended funds that go with those, yes, with those values. Yeah.
Janice doesn't have enough money to invest in KiwiSaver. I know this is always a tricky one for you, Mary.
Yeah.
She says my ACC is less than minimum wage. Higher and hidden extra costs of living alone with a severe disability means savings are a luxury. She does, though, have a question from other ACC claimants as to why their KiwiSaver accounts aren't topped up by the corporation.
Yeah, and look, this is really interesting. I'd love to see beneficiaries and ACC recipients in KiwiSaver, and it's something that I'm actually quietly pushing for in the work that the Commission's doing at the moment. And look, you know, I can't make that happen, but I'm hoping that that'll at least get into the recommendations that go to the government, that we get people who are not currently earning money into KiwiSaver by the government making contributions for them, basically. Yeah. The next email is a long one that I've actually edited down a lot, but it's still long. It's very sad, but you might want to read it from Mike. Yeah.
Thanks for the feedback coming in, by the way. Someone thinks we're doing national radio for the 1%.
Oh, 1%?
Well, that's the wealthiest people.
Oh, these ones
we're getting all sorts, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
But Liz is very thankful. She says, thanks for reading out her message, and she looks forward to some changes that Mary will bring us neglected business owners.
Oh, look, I can't bring them, but I can push for them, and I will be.
Kate says she's married and she doesn't work, but she is in KiwiSaver, has been for some years. She reckons it's the best thing. She puts in $100 a fortnight.
Well done, Kate. That's cool.
So Mike opted in to KiwiSaver when the scheme began, got a few $1,000s, then about a decade ago had a complete emotional breakdown and was diagnosed with PTSD and agoraphobia. He's now receiving a supported living payment from WINS, who don't make KiwiSaver contributions, and if he made voluntary payments, he's been told they'd be seen as an unnecessary expense and assessed as a cash asset. Same old theme, eh?
Yeah.
And this would result in a disproportionate reduction in his benefits. He says, going by past trends, by the time he reaches pension age at 85, there'll be no superannuation in New Zealand. He says, I won't survive that long because I live in weekly fiscal deficits and can't afford the medical care I need to stabilise. And it goes on. It's a pretty tough letter from Mike, and he's going through a lot.
It is. I really feel for him. It's surely tough. And the way he closes is, we, in quotes, are lucky to have KiwiSaver, but I'm not part of that we. Mm. And I thought, oh gosh, he's absolutely right. It's not fair. It's a kind of, they talk these days sometimes about social inclusion and the importance of people who are not earning money at the moment and are unable to, the importance of not having them feel like they're on the outer. And that's why I'm really pushing to see if there could be some sort of changes in that area to just get people into KiwiSaver, perhaps quite minimally, but they're in there. And then when they get work, which some of them will later and some of them won't, but at least they're part of the system. So all the best, Mike. I feel for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ian says he's 63. What's the point?
Yeah, he's short and to the point. Well, the point is, Ian, that you can, if you're only just turned 63, until you're 65, you can put $1,000 in each year, 1,042, and get the government's 521, which is $1,000 more dollars from the government. At this stage in your life, if your money's only tied up for a couple of years, $1,000, why wouldn't you? You could have a nice party with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alan's 79, though. He reckons he is too old.
No, and Alan used to be correct, but no longer. As of last July the 1st, people of any age can join KiwiSaver. Once you're over 65, you don't get government contributions and you don't get compulsory employer contributions, although some employers are nice enough to give the money to you. But if neither of those applies, Alan, if you're not an employee, it's still a good place to put your savings. There's a nice, widely diversified funds, a wide range of choices, and the fees are pretty low in KiwiSaver, lower than in alternative investments. So more and more people now in their retirement are starting to use KiwiSaver as just a place to park the money that they're not planning to spend in the next year or two. Yeah.
Pat says, I'm not sure if Pat's male or female, but they hate KiwiSaver. Everyone at work joined when it started. Why not free money? But after 3 years, says Pat, I was thrown out. I only got my own contributions back, no top-ups. Apparently I was too old. That needs to be changed. There's tons of people now working beyond the age of 65. If you're working, you should be able to be part of KiwiSaver.
Yes, and that sort of echoes what I was just saying. I agree that, you know, with already over 65s are allowed to be in KiwiSaver. They can't get the government contribution. That's debatable. I think the logic behind not giving it to them is that they're getting New Zealand Super at that point. And if you're still working and getting New Zealand Super coming into your bank account, that's you're on quite a nice deal anyway. I think what happened to Pat, though, the sad story was that he or she was put in without somebody realising they shouldn't have been in there. And then when they realised because they were over 65, and back in those days you couldn't join at over 65. Mm. And so that's why they sort of got thrown out, which is a horrible thing to happen.
It is.
But I would suggest that he or she goes back into it now, because you can still be in there and make the most of it.
Okay. Got another one from Nigel. Did Nigel have a big list of objections?
Nigel
different
did.
Nigels again.
No, they are the same Nigel, yes.
He's worried about losing control of his money and waiting a long time to get it back, or getting frittered away by some anonymous mediocre manager. He's really had a tough time, Nigel.
Yeah.
I can see he's not happy.
Yes. He's and for all I know, they could be having a wonderful time at my expense, he says, of the KiwiSaver fund managers. Well, not too wonderful, because the Financial Markets Authority is watching KiwiSaver pretty closely. They don't, balances might go up and down, but and that will happen. But people running away with your money are not going to happen. And as far as anonymous mediocre, when I say it's not going to happen, it's so unlikely. Mm-hmm. And even though the government won't guarantee the scheme, I just get this feeling that if there was some kind of nefarious stuff going on in the background, that there'd be some pressure for the government to see people right.
They bailed finance companies out, didn't they?
They did.
Higher risk and much more shonky.
It was. The trouble was that was, under a guarantee then, and that's one reason why they're not doing anything.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes. There is no guarantee, but I wouldn't let that be a reason not to be in KiwiSaver. I think that's a real pity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, by the way, to all the people who took time to write to us. There are plenty of people who don't trust the government. And someone says, didn't a previous government's retirement savings scheme just disappear?
I don't know what they're referring to there.
I think it was when the government started. Wasn't the Cullen Fund, and they
the Cullen Fund is the New Zealand
the
Super Fund, which is still there. That's the one that's building up money to pay super in the future.
There was one that we started up at some point in history, and then a certain government did away with it.
Yes,
because I remember seeing a graph saying if we'd kept up with it, we'd now be as wealthy as Norway was. That's right.
There have been various schemes
over
time,
maybe?
But it's never meant that people lost their money. A government wouldn't ever dare do that. Good God, no.
Just suspended contributions, really.
They must have, stopped the incentives, and people still had the money that they had in there. Yeah, I mean, this is a democracy we live in, and a government that did anything as horrific as that they just wouldn't dream of doing it. They'd never last.
We might get through all these, Mary. It took me a long time to finally save up to sign up to KiwiSaver, because I refused to join the scheme because it was not guaranteed by the government. At the very least, the government should make a promise that if investments go bad, you'll at least get back what you've put in the government credits and only lose your profits.
Yeah, and the further point to make from what, adding on to what we've just said, is if the government did guarantee KiwiSaver, guaranteed, let's say, that you couldn't lose money in there, then everyone, if they were smart, would go into the highest risk funds, because over the long run they're going to make the most money, and they are going to go up and down a lot. But if there was some kind of guarantee that when you took your money out you were going to get everything you'd put in plus some returns on it, then the market wouldn't be allowed to work. We'd all be rushing for the riskiest funds, and it would just distort everything, and chaos would reign. It's just not really going to work. But having said that, as I said before, I don't think people are going to end up, certainly not losing a lot. I just can't imagine that happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary.
It's a pleasure, Jessie. Hey, have fun tonight at the Music Awards.
Thanks.
Yeah, that'll be neat.
You can listen to Mary Holm, this episode or previous ones, on our podcasts page, and you can subscribe to make sure that you never miss it.